Well, as I was enjoying a week off, and I did enjoy the week off, I got caught up on a number of things, none of which show in the exterior part of my life, but you know, now I'm set up to hopefully stay on top of things a little bit better. And as I was quite certain, of course, you'd be well cared for with John taking care of the service, I was wondering, in a sense, sort of where would we come back to? And I thought it was fascinating that we came back to a passage of Scripture that, as much as anything, is about Scripture. And if we're going to talk about Scripture, that, well, that's where the sermon title comes. So it is Scripture, so what? What difference does it make? And as I've said a number of times, going back and talking about what we already know is never a problem. It's often a good thing for us. And it gave me a chance on my own to reflect on, well, it's Scripture, so what? Lots of people have things they turn to, they read to make their lives better. It's a rare technician, for example, who has essentially memorized all of the reference books that they need. I work with some unbelievably talented developers, software developers. These people who will do things in an afternoon that it would take me an afternoon to describe what I wanted, let alone actually accomplish it. And they have reference books and things around. They consult these things. And I think, well, is that surprising? Mechanics do the same. Engineers do the same. But is that what we're doing? Do we come to Scripture? Do we come to the Bible looking at it in the same way that a technician looks at a reference book? Do we come to this and just say, oh, that's what I'm supposed to do? Well, sometimes we do, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's things in Scripture that perhaps have slipped our mind, or we've gotten into a rut and we need to get sort of helped out of it, and Scripture does that for us. But if that's the case, then, and if that's all the case, how is it different than any other self-help book? There are people who go to a book of some kind. For most people, it's, well, something that falls into that large category of self-help that reminds them of things they're supposed to do. For some people, it's actually fiction. There are some people who go back to particular novels that have changed the way they think to remind them of why they think in these ways and in case they've forgotten. But is that all that is in Scripture? That it's a reminder of something we already know? Is it just a peculiar collection of ancient texts, some of which are so hard to understand that we don't even really think about them? Some of them are so obvious, at least from our perspective now, that we wonder why anybody would bother to write it down, and everything in between. Well, no. It is more than that. The mystery of Scripture is one that we will never fully grasp, I think. There's something about it. How can it be that thousands, millions of people use the Bible every day, and just simply by coincidence, leaving aside things like the lectionary or the daily office, thousands of people read the exact same words. Hundreds, at least, read them in the exact same translation. And each of them gets what they need. How does that work? It doesn't work that same way with the newspapers or anything else. There's something different about Scripture. And when we look at Paul's letter to Timothy, his second letter to Timothy, as it was read to us this morning, we look at 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, which I was required to memorize my freshman year of college, which was a good thing. I was unfortunately part of that transition generation. There's two generations that I think have been ill-served by newness. One is the generation, and I'm in both of them, and the generation that went from metric non-metric to metric. So I never learned imperial. I have no visual anything for a gallon, a bushel, a mile, none of those things. But I came in that way, but I came in as metric was coming in, so I don't really know that one either. I'm sort of stuck in the middle. So I tell people I'm 6'2", I weigh 230 pounds or whatever, but I'm probably going to tell you how many kilometers it is from one place to another, not really knowing either one, the same way that, say, my parents did, who always could tell you how far away something was in a wide range of options and all that. So I didn't, I'm sort of stuck in the middle. Occasionally thought there's a book out there called Tweeners, but it's not for people who are 12, 13, 14. It's for people who get stuck in the middle of these things. And the other is Scripture. I grew up with the King James Version, but then we went into the New International Version as the de facto version for the Evangelical Church, just as I was actually starting to learn it. So I have some things memorized in King James, virtually nothing memorized in anything else, but I can tell you more or less what it is. Ah, very frustrating. But on the other hand, I do have the New International Version and all these other versions that really help my understanding, so I'm okay with it. But when I memorized it in college, it didn't last as long as I wish it would have. There's just something about memorizing in contemporary language. It doesn't work for me. I know it does for many. It just doesn't for me. But certainly the gist of this two-verse passage has stuck with me ever since I memorized it. And when we look at it, Paul's language is very interesting. He says, all Scripture is God-breathed. There's something special about it. God is involved. And it's almost a pun in that breath, spirit, pneuma, the Greek word is the same for the Holy Spirit as for what we breathe in and out to get oxygen. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the person of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. There's something about Scripture. And if there is one problematic word in here, it's the word useful. Now, we tend to look at things that are useful as being kind of prosaic and not very important. It's useful. It's not critical. I wish we would have translated that somewhat differently. But what it tells us is that Scripture has been brought into being by God. God breathed. It goes back all the way to the beginning, to Genesis, where God breathed into Adam. The Holy Spirit, the breath, that non-corporeal person of God that hovered over the waters, hovered over everything at the beginning of creation, is part of this book. There's something different about it. And when Paul says it's useful for doing those things, teaching and correcting and training in righteousness, it's more than just it's a convenient tool. It's something that's critical to that, because this is the source of what we know about God. Yes, we interact with God directly in our devotional life, in our experiences with nature, in our moments of worship, in all of these different ways. But it's hard to imagine how we would make sense of that without Scripture. There's something tremendously special about it, something that's a requirement for us. It's why I find churches that don't read Scripture, that don't have it read, because for all kinds of reasons, people may not be able to read on their own, or may not have the time, they may not own a Bible, they may not know where to get one, and whether we think those are just excuses or not, it's irrelevant. One of the things that I appreciate the most about liturgically oriented churches is that every Sunday you hear Scripture read. Every Sunday we have a responsive reading of some sort, usually a psalm, so we read it together. So I'm sure you've noticed, I mean, I insist that our responsive reading end with you getting the last word in the responsive reading, even if we do it together, because it reminds us that we're all in this. It's not my Scripture. If it belongs to anyone, it belongs to God, and because of that, it belongs to all of us together. It's divinely inspired. It's a divine book. It's not just clever writing, because some of it isn't. It's not just subtle thinking or subtle argumentation, because lots of it isn't that either. It's certainly not just history. It's all of these things, all of these different styles and genres and authors that have come together under the supervision of the Holy Spirit to provide something that Paul says is useful in this way. But then, what do we do with those things? One of the challenges of Scripture, of course, is that parts of it are written to a particular person. And so we then need to tease out what is just for that person and what is for all of us. Timothy was exhorted to not just drink water, but to also drink wine. Is that for all of us? Well, if you're in a place where the water is suspect, yeah, I suppose it probably is. Is that a command? No, it's a suggestion that if water is not doing it for you, maybe you should look at something else. Timothy didn't have the benefits of water purification and filtration that we do. Who knows what he was getting? Well, he was drinking out of a well that was contaminated with who knows what. That's not quite the requirement on us that some other things are. So when Paul says, down in our passage a little bit, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Is that for us or is that just for Timothy? Well, it's for us, just to sort of cut right to the chase there. But it's not to us in the same way it was to Timothy. Timothy was specifically charged as an evangelist, someone who preached the word frequently to people who'd never heard it before. And then he was called to preach it in the way that I do, Sunday after Sunday, to people who are familiar with it, and portions of it I'm sure you know, at least someone here knows better than I do. But what about the rest of our lives? Well, we're required to preach the word, which I'll put to you does not mean that we're required to stand in a particular place and give expository sermons. Preaching the word is so much more comprehensive than that. To borrow yet another famous quotation, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Springs from here. We're called to be prepared in and out of season to correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. And we do that through knowing Scripture, through knowing this word. Our personal interactions with God are of tremendous value. They are critical to our ongoing relationship with God. Those moments, sometimes when we're entirely alone, sometimes we don't have any idea why, but we suddenly have this sense of the closeness of God. They're wonderful moments, but they're not the only, or maybe not even the best way to prepare us to talk to other people about God. Scripture and a reasonable knowledge of Scripture is what prepares us to be ready in and out of season, which I think is just Paul's shorthand for saying that sometimes it's really convenient and easy to talk about religious things. Sometimes it's not, but the need is obviously there also. So wherever you find yourself, when the moment arises for you to speak about important spiritual things, you should be ready. And maybe that'll involve correcting or rebuking or encouragement, whatever it might be, you need to be ready for that. And the way you're going to be ready for it is by knowing Scripture. Does that mean you have to have memorized it all? Thankfully not. Does it mean you have to be well aware of all of Scripture and how it interacts with itself and with the rest of the world? Once again, thankfully not. I mean, it's a large book, even if it was written by a single author, even if this was the equivalent of a novel. There's a lot of stuff in there. We're required to be as ready as we can to encourage people, perhaps correct them, occasionally pass on a rebuke that comes from the source of Scripture, that comes from God's design for the world and for us as we function in it. Paul reminds us that the time will come when people won't have any interest in sound doctrine. And I think that time may have arrived a while ago. I don't know when it actually started, but I'm pretty sure we're in it now. Sound doctrine however you describe it, I think is attacked by the notion that my opinion is as good as yours about everything. Because it just isn't. My opinion about what's wrong with you from a medical perspective is not as good as Peggy's. My opinion about sort of the status of your accounting books are not as good as Murray's. What's going on in a field, my opinion is not as good as Paul's. Why? Because these are areas of expertise where we have different things. If I just say, well, that's what I think, and that should be good enough for you, I think I've given evidence that I think there is no such thing as sound doctrine. We seem to be there. And Paul doesn't say that we throw up our hands in despair. He says that when that happens, we go back to the source of sound doctrine. We go back to Scripture. I mean, that's not exactly what he says explicitly, but what he's saying is, you know, keep your head in all situations. Know Scripture and know where it comes from. It's not just clever philosophy put together by very bright people. It's God breathed. It's a living document. We see in other places where it's described as a living word. There's something about it. It has a connection with God, an organic, real connection with God that then connects to us in a way that no other written word does. The so what about Scripture is what it is. That Scripture is a connection for us directly to God in a way that is different than our ongoing, never-ending connection with God on a personal level. Because that this doesn't supplant that. The two work together. We know Scripture so that we'll be ready to provide answers to people who have questions, encouragement to those who need encouragement, from a source that goes beyond our own experience in and of itself. Our own experience is important. Our experience with Scripture is important. And our experience with God in that personal way is important. We bring all of these together. Very few of us are called to be evangelists in the way that Timothy was, in the way that Paul was. And that's okay. The culture in which we live, that's just not a requirement the way it was then. But we're called to be ready to preach the gospel in whatever way is appropriate to us, and to be ready, in and out of season, be ready the times that are easy and the times that are less easy, to correct, rebuke, and encourage. Called to be ready to do those things with great patience and careful instruction that flows from our understanding of this God-breathed book. It's not just an instruction manual for life. It's not just a collection of interesting stories. It's the Word of God, the living Word of God, provided for us that we might be able to provide correction, rebuke, and encouragement whenever it's needed. Amen.